Hey, thanks for joining me. If you are on hold, I'll do my very best to get you on the air. You know, last night, and I go through a lot of the emails that come in a lot of times at night. I'll open my laptop and I'll go through some of the emails that have come in. I get a ton of them in my inbox, just so you know. But, you know, I saw this weird series of emails that came in. This person is true. With a heavy heart, I ask you to pray for my cousin Ann, who was killed in a head-on collision last night. Two of her children were in the car and are being treated at a local hospital. My dear, faithful, sweet, and holy cousin was a mother of 8 children, 4 of whom are married, 2 more grandchildren on the way. The youngest is 9. She led a virtuous and holy life, but please, please ask our listeners to pray for her soul and for her family. If you include it in today's chapel, I'd be grateful. My heart goes out to you. You have my prayers. I prayed for you last night as well when I read this. And, of course, our spiritual family will pray for you and all those who mourn in this very difficult time. We don't know the day or the hour, do you? You head-on collision like that. Next thing you know, you're dead. This person wrote to me and says, "Hey, I am writing for my father-in-law, Alvin. He is nearing his very final hours. He's in St. Louis, so I don't know exactly when it will occur, but thank you very much." Another person wrote and said, "Drew, could you please pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet for my elderly friend, Silver? She's been away from the church for many years and is in hospice now, dying." Another person wrote to me and said, "Drew, please pray for my friend Michael, who's in hospice care. Pray that his suffering may be over." And another person wrote and said a couple of different things. "Hey, could you pray for my loved one who's away from the faith, been away from the church for many years? God is calling them home. I pray for the relief of their suffering, and that God will be their merciful Savior." And as I was going through these, I'm thinking, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I got half a dozen people who are dying, who are writing right now, asking for you and I to pray the chaplet. And I thought, boy, it's strange. But I thought maybe I'll share with you, as I share all the time when it comes to the dying, how critical it is that we pray for them. You know, 105 souls die every moment. 105 different people will be called home. You know, just in an hour, that's 2 people per second. 6,316 die in this very hour. And you talk about the day, 151,000, 152,000 people die just in this hour alone. And the Lord knew this. He gave Faustina the Chapel of Divine Mercy, not just for personal needs and, you know, as a beautiful devotion, but this really is a prayer for the dying. If you see somebody in a car accident, if you hear about a mass shooting, if you hear about a fire, if you have a loved one that is dying, this is a gift for you. It is a gift for us from heaven. The Lord says, "Whoever will pray this prayer will receive great mercy at the hour of death." If you hear about me in the hospital or dying, please pray this prayer for me. I need those prayers. All right, I believe in these prayers. The Lord says, "When you say this prayer, when you pray the chaplet in the presence of the dying, I will stand between my father and the dying person, not as a just judge, but as a merciful Savior." And for you priests who are listening, as a priest, the Lord said, "Recommend it to sinners." If you do that, it might be their last hope of salvation. Even if a sinner was most hardened, they were to pray this prayer just once, they would receive the grace of my infinite mercy, the Lord told them. So this is a special gift for priests, for the priesthood. Yeah, it's such a special gift for us. Pray as much as you can for the dying. He says in their final moment, right, in those final hours when Satan is there to get them, they trust in his mercy is so critical. And he says quite often people have, they have it the least. And that's really quite tragic. He says, but be assured that the grace of eternal salvation for certain souls in their final moment, it depends on your prayers. So as those prayers came in last night, I prayed. I wrote back to each one of those people and I said, "I am praying for you right now. And I would ask you to do the same thing. I know that the Lord will defend as his own glory," as he told St. Faustina, "everybody who prays the chaplet. And when others say it for that dying person, the pardon's the same." So as we pray this, the Lord gave you a promise. He says, "I will defend you as my own glory. Those who will pray this chaplet, I will defend as my own glory." What a powerful promise coming from the Lord himself. So I don't know, maybe the Lord wanted that message heard today. You know, I got this confluence of these petitions, so many people being called home. that's an aspect of the Divine Mercy devotion I think that we really need to embrace, and I think it's such a gift for our day. All right, let's pray. Before I do, though, I want to welcome my compadre here, Maggie May. Maggie, good to have you back.
That was a new one.
Praying you like that. I got lots of Maggies. I got M squared, Margaret Mary, right? Yeah. What did your mom call you? She called you Margaret Mary when she was mad at you, or did she do that when she loved you?
Margaret Mary when she was mad at me.
I was Drew Joseph. Drew Joseph!
Of course, yeah. But she calls me Mishy when she's in a good mood.
I like that.
Because my dad, I don't know, my dad used to call me Michigan, and then it kind of just changed.
That's a good password.
They also call me Margie, and
Margie, how interesting. No Peg, right?
No.
Don't offend the Pegs that are listening.
I'm sorry.
Hold back your reaction, Maggie. All right? Anything you want to pray for as we start?
Yeah, you know what? I caught up with Eliu earlier, and remember he was telling us about his 3-year-old nephew, Jose Ignacio, who was in critical condition.
Upstairs.
Yeah. So he was asking for continued prayers for this little one, and so I wanted to lift him up for healing.
Yeah, it's such a great prayer, because the first time I heard about that, we gather every afternoon at noon as a network here at the studio, and we invoke the intercession of the Blessed Mother. We pray the angels together, and he asked for that prayer. It's the first time I heard of it. I'll have to follow up with him, but let's pray. We'll pray for him, and we'll pray for you now as we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
And I got a call from or a text from a friend last night asking prayers for her husband, Doug, who is having heart surgery today. So I'm just going to continue to pray for him. We prayed for him last night, but I'm going to pray for his recovery and all those now in recovery as well. Our first call today comes from Abby. Abby is praying with us in Madison, Wisconsin. Hi, Abby.
Oh, hi. I just got off the phone with my mother-in-law, and she told me about a little girl in her community who's 12 years old and has been given 2 months to live with a cancer diagnosis. And I would just like to pray for that little girl for a Christmas miracle for her. Her name is Briella.
Briella. All right. Well, first of all, Abby, thank you. I like the way you put it. Let's pray for that Christmas miracle, right? We'll have plenty of time to pray in the days ahead. And I want to pray for you. You didn't ask for anything, but Lord, I just give you Abby and all of her personal needs, her wants, her intentions, her desires, those things she cries out to you with. But we do pray for Briella. And Lord, nothing's impossible with you. There is nothing that is impossible with you. And I give you this little girl, and we do. We pray for that Christmas miracle. I pray for all those seeking that Christmas miracle who have been given just months to live, who are battling life-threatening or debilitating ailments or illnesses, who face eviction or just difficult times, jail sentences, whatever it may be. I give you these souls, Lord, and I know you can find ways out of situations that have no way out. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Tom's praying in Fraser, Pennsylvania. Hey, Tom, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew and Maggie. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
My prayer intentions is to increase work, my client base, and personal training business, which has been slow and declining, and for you and your staff, Drew, that provides us with this powerful devotion every day.
Thank you,
and God bless you.
Well, thank you, sir. I really appreciate those prayers, and I know God hears those prayers. Let's pray for you right now for the recovery of your business, which has been down, and it's hard. I saw an article this morning, actually, said 41% of small businesses can't pay their rent. I mean, 2 out of 5, that's stunning, that number. Lord, I pray for our economy. Pray for those who are struggling financially. I want to pray for those who have small businesses, medium-sized businesses, who are facing hardship and difficulty, Lord. I just ask that you could intervene. You're a God of providence. You are a multiplier, as I like to say. And I thank you for that. And I give you Tom and every one of his intentions that he just voiced. And I unite them to all right now who are looking for employment, looking for raises, looking for ways out of that financial quagmire that they're in. So I turn to you, Lord. I don't know how you resolve it. I leave that up to you. But I pray with trust. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And before we go to Lori in Woodbury, Tennessee, let me first bring Maggie back in and remind you, look, if you have an intention, our phone lines do fill up pretty quickly here. You can go to Twitter. The Twitter page is @DrewMariani Show, and that's for the show. And put up your prayer petitions there. Maggie will take a bite. If you want to follow me personally, @DrewMariani, and I hope you'll do that. Please follow us on our social media platforms. It's a great way to spread the word and turn other people onto it as well. Maggie, what's coming in? Anything important?
Drew, this one actually just came in a minute ago. Gilberto says, please pray for the conversion of my wife and for a sacramental marriage. I've been with her for 27 years. That's just beautiful devotion. I just love that. I want to lift up Gilberto and his wife. Some other tweets that we got. Please pray for a beloved teacher who's dying from pancreatic cancer. His name is Doug. Maria from California saying, I'm going for a biopsy tomorrow. Please pray that I am healed from cancer. Also, I need healing from anger and stubbornness that has festered in me since I was a child. I'm lifting you up, Maria. I think I just heard Patrick Madrid this morning talking about forgiveness and anger and stubbornness. Diane.
And what did he say?
He was saying that it's one of the hardest things to do. It sounds so simple, and yet it's very, very hard.
Yeah.
So Diane then is asking for prayers for the Immaculate Heart School in Tucson, Arizona. I guess they're changing to a classical model, and she's praying for their success. And Carol is asking for prayers for her 96-year-old father-in-law, who is in the hospital for a few days. She said, we want to see him at Christmas.
Oh, beautiful prayer. Let's pray for Christmas miracles today. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Maggie.
Yeah.
I'm going to pray for Maggie. She's got a wedding coming up in about 7 months, so You know how busy she is, a lot going on. So pray for success there too, Maggie. Let's bring Lori in. She's in Woodbury, Tennessee. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Drew. Today I want to pray for my dear friend Sam and Sarah. Sam experienced an emergency surgery for a brain bleed on Thanksgiving. So he's still in the hospital, and I'm sure she's been at his side all this time. But pray for a complete healing of Sam and just cover them in Jesus' love, their family, at this hard time.
Well, you got it, Lori. Hey, thank you. Blaine Bree, anything to deal with the brain always terrifies me. I'm thinking, wow, serious stuff. I pray for Sam and Sarah. Lori, I want to pray for you too. I have such generous souls. And, you know, I know God knows our prayers. He knows what's best for us. He already has solutions to those problems that face you. And, you know, you're in a difficult time right now, but God sees the big picture. I give you Lori, who asked for nothing. Lord, and I just intercede on her behalf. I ask that a special way you return her generosity and bring answers to the situation she presented and to all those intentions in her heart. And I bring to everyone who's praying with me now, wherever they are, whether it's around the world or in this country, whether they're in prison cells or homebound or in a hospital. Lord, I ask you, hear the cries of your children as we pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake
world.
Of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Our next call comes from Colorado. Hey, Donna, thank you for joining us. Good afternoon, Donna Mae.
Yes, thank you very much for taking my call. I am interceding for Nathaniel. He's a 14-year-old boy who is dying of stomach and colon cancer and is undergoing an operation today only to relieve his pain.
Oh, wow.
But I know that God can heal him totally, and I am expecting a miracle. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna. And I love your simple faith. It inspires me because I try to pray with childlike faith and simplicity when I petition the Lord. The Lord told St. Faustina, it pleases me to grant everything that souls ask of me by praying this chaplet. So here we've got another miracle intention, right? A 14-year-old boy with colon cancer. We've got Sam and Sarah. We've got all these different intentions where we're praying for these Christmas miracles. I love that intention. I believe it pleases God to grant everything souls ask of him by this chaplet. I do. And it may not be exactly the way we want it, but I guarantee you there is something bigger and better awaiting you. So, Lord, I don't know how this works out. I don't have that big view. You're God. And we place all these intentions in you, and I thank you for revealing that special promise to us that it pleases you to grant everything that souls ask of you by praying the prayers. So standing on that promise, we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, I'll see if I can grab an extra call or two today. A lot of people have been waiting. We'll start first in Texas with Joanna. Hi, Joanna.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
A couple of weeks ago, I called in about our deacon, that he was going to have major heart surgery, mm-hmm. and it ended up that it was quadruple bypass surgery wow. yesterday, and his daughter said he came through it really well, and I just want a prayer of thanksgiving for everyone and Relevant Radio with all the prayers that helped him make it through.
Amen to that. Joanna, thank you. Praise God, right? We thank the Lord. I often say we pray for miracles, but the Lord also gave us an intellect. He gave us technology. He gave us this fruit of the intellect, our medicine, our understanding of it. And if he uses that to bring about our healing, well, we thank him for that. Lord, I pray for Joanna and everything in her heart as well. Rocco's been waiting. He's in New York, New York. Hi, Rocco.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call, Drew. I want to pray for Father Bala Ituri. He's in Mount Sinai Hospital in Manhattan, and he's in the intensive care.
Okay.
And got a lot of problems, and I'm praying for a miracle. And everyone out there can pray, and we know God can answer miracles and heal him if he can.
So his name is Father Bali? Is that his name? Father Bali?
Yeah, his name Father Ituri.
Ituri.
His first name is Bala. B-A-L-A. Ituri.
Okay. Well, you got it. We're going to lift him up right now. Rocco, thank you for being an intercessor. Lord, I also add Rocco to the prayer list. But we do pray for your healing touch on your servant here. And we just ask for healing. He's in ICU now. I pray for anyone who's in critical condition, intensive care units or NICUs or PICUs. And Lord, just ask for your mercy. You are the divine healer. Embrace the sick. Restore. Bring healing. Colette in Bloomington, Indiana, thanks for joining us as well.
Hi. I just want to lift up my second cousin, Kathleen, who was at her mother's deathbed and came down with sepsis, woke up intubated, and now has had several of her digits amputated at age 45 or so.
Lord, how horrible.
So she's devastated on so many levels right now, and she's a long-term pious Catholic. So I just really want to lift her up for her great faith in this terrible situation and just God's mercy over her whole family.
Colette, thanks. Well, we'll pray for her for sure. I mean, gosh, I sit back and look at how life changes, you know? You wake up, you're having your fingers, your digits amputated. It's just, you don't know the day or the hour. Health is such a blessing from God. Lord, I pray for it. I pray for my health. I pray for those who are united with me now in prayer. I pray for those who are in the battle of their life and who are struggling, carrying that heavy cross of health conditions, of ailments, of sickness, cancer. Lord, I give you those souls. I lift up Colette. I bring her to the table as well. And we just ask you to heal the heart too and the mind, where there's deep wounds and there are deep struggles as well. So often we can get through some of the temporal issues, but some of those psychological and emotional issues are so hard. And I just ask that your mercy enter deep. Janet is in Indianapolis, Indiana. We'll add her to our prayer chain today too. Hi, Janet. Well, let me go to, sorry about that, Janet. I think I lost you there. You know what? Let me pray. Let's go right now. Cherie, I'll take one more. All right. Cherie in California. Hi, go right ahead.
Yes, thank you so much for taking my call, Drew. My sister, my dearly beloved sister, she came back to the church after 5 years. She died yesterday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And my best friend, Ruth Foster, she died on Thanksgiving at 4 a.m. in the morning. And I want just prayers for the repose of their souls, and that they will, I know they're on their journey, and I want them to get to heaven.
Thank you, Drew. Yeah, hang in there. I'm sorry. I mean, losing a sibling has got to be incredibly, incredibly difficult. I know the days ahead are going to be hard for you as you go through this process. But we're with you. We're with you. We're going to pray for your spiritual families here. That's the beauty of what we do, you know. And I just thank you for all who are gathered with me. You know, we are your children. I know you hear our prayers. And I'm so grateful for those who are praying for others and who are crying out to you now. And I intercede on their behalf. And I just ask for your mercy. Hear my humble prayers. Hear the prayers of those crying out to you. And let your mercy prevail. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Palestine,
pray for us.
Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Our Lady Mother of the Sick,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escrivá,
pray for us.
St. Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You know, I know a lot of you are going through financial difficulty right now. It's a tough time. And I just want to say, don't be worried about your money, all right? The Lord tells us in Scripture we can't serve, you know, both God and money. And I say God is a God of providence. And he is a provider. I saw a stat recently that there are over 2,000 scripture verses in the Bible, I should say, that have to do with how we handle our money and manage it. It's pretty striking when I saw that number. When I return, you might be worried about Christmas, you know, and your finances might be in a tough place. The Texeras are going to join us. We're going to take a look at how to handle Christmas on a budget and maybe how to help you get out of debt. And maybe you've got a financial question. Yeah, we'll be more than glad to take it. When we come back, we'll dive into that. We'll take a look at a spiritual angle here, too, when we're done. I don't want you to worry about money. I don't. And I got lots of reasons why you shouldn't. That and more straight ahead.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Relevant Radio runs on horsepower, your horsepower. Donate any vehicle and keep your station running. Join in with thousands of other listeners who have given their unused vehicles at relevantradio.com/car.
$1.87. That was all. Pennies saved one and two at a time. Three times Della counted it. $1.87. And the next day would be Christmas. There was clearly nothing to do but flop down on the shabby little couch and howl. So Della did it.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That, of course, is a classic, right? You know what that's from? The Gift of the Magi by O. Henry. Have you heard of that classic Christmas story? Those were some of the opening lines of the story where the main character realizes she doesn't have enough money to get her husband a Christmas gift. And what does she do? She decides to chop off her beautiful hair and sell it to have enough. Meg, he sold his watch, right?
She chops off her hair to buy him a beautiful chain for his watch.
And he sells
the watch.
To buy her a comb, right?
To buy her combs, yeah.
It's such a beautiful story.
It is.
It's horrible.
I know.
Makes you feel terrible.
I know.
No. It's such a classic story. It's love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want the best for the other. You know, and you're willing to sacrifice to do that. It's a great story for sure. Boy, Christmas is a tough time, though, isn't it? I'm not spiritually speaking, financially speaking, for a lot of people. You know, we've been seeing and feeling the increase in cost over the last 2 years. And now with Christmas coming, it's going to cost us a lot more than it has in the recent past. A little side weird note that I saw today. PNC Bank, right? They do this annual 12 days of Christmas price index you know, and if it's any indication, it's going to be more than 10% higher than last year. I don't know how much you spend on Christmas or what, but as a joke, what PNC Bank does is they figure out what it would actually cost to buy all the things listed in the 12 Days of Christmas song. Right? So what would that cost? You know, if you want to buy two turtle doves and some golden rings and get some, you know, Piper's piping. And they estimate this year is going to cost $45,523.27. Oh my gosh. That's just the cost of running through the song once. You know, if you do all the repeats, right? Because you start, you know how long that song takes. They say it'll be just a little less than 200 grand. But the bank says the index has risen in part due to the pandemic-related supply chain disruptions and elevated energy and commodity prices. It's a mouthful, right? Hey, if you're trying to buy anything, right, you know how long it's taking due to this supply chain issue. And we do know how everything is going up. It's crazy. And so, you know, of course, not too many people are going to be buying Swans of Swimming, right? That was, by the way, the cheapest item on the list. I think it was only $58. But if you're going to buy food for the feast, right, you're going to have, you know, all sorts of other stuff, presents and decorations. You're going to feel it. One of my producers, I was talking to him this morning. I said, you know, take a look at the price of cutting down your own tree. Because my wife and I, we moved recently. And in my other house, I had three Christmas trees, right? That's a lot. I know Maggie's stunned. She loves Christmas, right? We had this giant, like 11 or 12 foot, 13 foot one in one of the rooms that was really had a super high ceiling. And then she had other trees throughout the house. So this year, we gave some of the trees away to other people. Well, maybe I should get a new tree. I said, well, check out how much are they? You know, he was looking for a 6 foot tree. If you cut down your own, the tree started at $67. They went up to $98. And they probably go up even higher depending on how big of a tree you want. But that was for 6 foot. Not that long ago, you can get one, $25, $35, $45. I guess it depends what part of the country that you're in. You know what's happening to food prices, right? You go out, you do your grocery shopping every week. Presents are going to cost you a lot more as inflation is hitting. So last week I was away from the mic. One of my favorite guests, great financial contributor, a guy named Paul Auster. He is great with credit. He says people are going into the Christmas season with a lot of credit card debt. And they're probably going to add more by the time it's done. So I thought today, as Black Friday's over, as Cyber Monday is past us, how do you avoid getting really into debt? Or maybe you're there. How do you stop the bleeding? And secondarily, how do you still have a decent Christmas? If you have a generous heart like mine, you want to give, right? You want to share. You want to celebrate the season. So I've invited Jonathan Texara to join me today. He has a great story. We talked to him not too long ago about getting out of his own debt. He started a website called WalletWin.com. You can learn some really good financial advice there. As a savvy Catholic, he thought, hey, I'm going to help others. And wrote a book called A Guide, Catholic Guide to Managing Your Money. It's available at our Sunday Visitor. He's here today to give you some advice. Feel free to dial in if you're in a real hole and you need some advice. It's 888-914-9149. Jonathan, good afternoon. Welcome back.
Drew, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I love your take on this too. It's going to be hard—a hard Christmas for a lot of people. And I see a lot of people defaulting. You know, gas is high; they're waiting for the next paycheck. They put it on their credit card, and they're ordering online, and they're going to pay it off. And that credit card debt can just mount, right? And they're facing the consequences later. Interest is compounding. This is a major temptation. What's your advice? Because people say, I don't have the money. I got to use my credit.
Yeah, that's that is the trap that I fell into personally. And a decent chunk of our debt when we got married was because that's how I felt when I was a missionary, wasn't making too much money, wasn't that great at fundraising. And I was living in New York City at the time. And things got expensive. And so I put something on the credit card because, oh, okay, I'm getting paid next week. I'll put it on the card for now, then I'll pay it off, which I did. But then I paid it off. So then I had less money. So I ran out of money even sooner and had to put more on the card. And then that just snowballed into just adding it onto the card and throwing some money at it. But of course, with the high interest rates of credit cards, which are now even higher since a lot of them are variable and go up and down. And so with the main interest rates going up, a lot of people's credit card interest rates are rising as well. So it's a pretty expensive way to pay for anything, especially when it comes Christmas time, because there's a lot of we feel a lot of obligations, yeah. A lot of there's a pull on us, or I got to get something for this person. I have to make sure the kids have these great memories, and I think for some reason that means a lot of presents. Or, okay, well, there's the gift exchange at work, and then there's my side of the family, then there's my wife's side of the family, and then there's this other party, and now I'm spending all this money. When you really get down to it, the things that you remember about Christmas, right, with the things I remember as a kid, the big memories from Christmas weren't really the presents. It was like the crazy things that happened, the time, you know, when mom's reaching across the table and lights her pajama arm on fire on the candle, like that's totally free.
Right.
And so it's looking at what are the priorities, right? Because I mean, there is a financial component to celebrating Christmas, right? You're going to have to buy some presents. You're going to have to, you know, maybe some extra food for a feast, whatever it's going to be. Yeah. And so if you sit down and come into Christmas with a plan of how much you want to spend, then you get to choose where that's going to be, and you get the chance to protect the most important parts of your Christmas celebration.
Yeah, you can join us here if you want to get in. Maybe you're going through this. Maybe you've got some advice. The number's 888-914-9149. I've got a colleague here. He's got 8 children. I work with him at the network. And I'd asked him about this because, you know, Christmas can be such a difficult time. You know, if you've got 8 children, think of how many gifts, how many presents, think about the stockings, think of everything that goes into that. He says, my wife and I, we have this policy, we have a philosophy that we deal with our children. He says, we give them 4 gifts each. So all 8 kids, there's 4 gifts. And he says, one gift is something to read. So every kid will get that. The other is something that they need. You know, maybe it's a new sweater or a pair of boots or gloves or whatever, a coat. The other thing is something to wear. And the final thing is something to share. So something to read, something they need. I don't know what that would be. Something to wear. And then, of course, something to share. That's kind of the fun gift that they have, you know, whatever that is. And they love that. But they do that. And he says the kids absolutely love it. And it's been a custom in their home. And that's a way for a family who is really struggling and say, I just can't afford to put 20 gifts under the tree, to maybe, you know, give meaning to those gifts for the kids. So any suggestions in that area too? I mean, it's not about quantity, is it? It's really about the quality of the gift.
It's absolutely about the quality of the expression of love. Yeah. And so when it was really great. I really, really like the take that your colleague has on it. Because when you started in, I thought it was going to be a phrase that I've heard a whole lot of, something they want, something they need, something they wear, something they read. But I love the flipping out, right? Substituting something to share instead of something they want. Because what, I mean, that's just a great gift to the child or whoever it is that you're giving the gift to. Because right when we give of ourselves, we actually understand ourselves better. We find our true self. So that's a really wonderful twist on what I had already heard.
Yeah, give me your version again. What was your version?
Sure. So what I've heard is something they want, something they need, something to wear, something to read. So, right. So once at the beginning, but on the one you shared, right, you cross that one off, and then you put share at the end to rhyme with wear. So that's fantastic. And I'd say, so, yeah, no one, you want to know as best you can with kids, certainly, but the love language of the people you are giving gifts to. We have some folks in our lives, in our family, who they are gift givers and gift receivers, and it is a primary way that they share and receive love.
Yeah.
And so for them, like, and it's not that they're petty or it's just the way God made them. Some of us just like stuff and think it's a great way to show, oh, I was thinking of you. I know that you like birds. I saw this t-shirt with a bird on it. I got it for you. Yeah. And so, if you can identify who are the gift people, then you maybe can concentrate a little bit more of your energy, a little bit more of your effort or your resources to make sure that gift is really great.
Yeah.
So, So, and then that doesn't mean you have to spend more money on them, but you, maybe you spend a little bit more of your intentionality, a little bit more of your time thinking or putting your time into making something that's going to be really special for them. But, you know, we like to do gifts for our kids. We really like to think of those experiential gifts. So maybe it's, you know, the zoo membership for the year, or we're going to go see a show at the symphony or something like that. So it's a fun thing. It's usually a fun outing for the whole family. But it also gives them, you know, time together, time appreciating, you know, maybe the natural world or the arts. And it's an extra, it's just a nicer present than just some plastic thing that's going to make noise and annoy me and probably get thrown out later.
Hey, Jonathan, I got to hold it right there. We'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll grab a few phone calls. We're taking a look at, you know, how to deal with your finances this Christmas with high inflation and credit card rates rising. And you often spend a lot of money this time of year. A lot of people's New Year's resolution is to get out of debt. Maybe we can help you get an early jump on that. If you want to join us, and Don in Missouri, you're on deck, you can dial in now. 888-914-9149. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me four calling birds,
three French hens,
two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the fifth day of Christmas.
Yeah, we're in that season, right? It's Advent. Christmas will be here before you know it. You know, a lot of people are getting ready, buying decorations and trees and doing their Christmas shopping. I thought today we'd just take a quick look at maybe helping you achieve all your goals, maybe on a budget, maybe not spending as much. I know everything costs a little bit more. And I've invited to join us today, Jonathan Texera. He founded a wonderful website called WalletWin.com and wrote a book called A Catholic Guide to Managing Your Money. That's available at our Sunday Visitor. He joins us today. Before he got into money management, he was just sharing with us that he did missionary work and was not so good at raising money. And, you know, you've got to still eat and pay the rent and, you know, just get by. And it's really easy to default to credit cards, and they can build very quickly. Anyone who's ever gotten in trouble with a credit card, you know what I'm talking about, right? It's easy to spend. It's often hard to get that credit card debt back down. Jonathan, I got to ask you a personal question before we go to Donna or these other calls. My daughter does missionary work, and she is terrible at raising funds, too. I mean, she really is. She hates it. It's so hard for her to do it. Why was it a problem for you? And you know, I almost feel bad for those who are doing this missionary, this evangelical type of work, that you got to struggle so hard to do it. But I'm sure you also saw God's providence in all of this.
I absolutely saw God's providence. We, my wife and I, we were end up being missionaries for almost 9 years with Focus. And so after a while, I could look around our apartment, our townhouse, wherever it was that we were living at that time, and every single thing that I saw, I was able to purchase because of other people's generosity, other folks believing in the work that I was doing so much that they wanted to be a part of it with their finances. And so it was hard at the beginning. Certainly, that's when I ran into a lot of debt, and living in New York City, it certainly wasn't cheap. But over in time, I understood it, how to explain the vision better. I got over maybe some trepidation about asking people for money, because I saw you get to enter into the mission of whatever it is that you're supporting, right? You make whatever those ministries are at your parish possible when you put money in the collection plate. You make programs like this possible when you give to your radio station or to Relevant Radio.
Right.
Whatever that apostolate is that really sets your heart on fire with the work that they do in the world, you don't have to give up everything and go join them, right? You don't have to renounce your family and try to join the order. You can just give them some money, right? So this, right, when we go to work, we exchange our time and our talent and our effort for money. And when we give it back, in some ways, it's like this magical re-exchange where you can think, okay, well, if I go to work and I get, I don't know, $50 an hour, well, every $50 I give to this religious order, it's like I'm there for an hour helping them in their work, wow, or helping them pray for an hour or whatever it is. So you get to kind of throw yourself into the mission of whoever it is that you're supporting.
Well, I love it. I'm glad you did the work you did, and I'm glad God used you in a powerful way. I'll share that with my daughter as well. But let me grab a couple calls. We only have a few minutes here. Donna is listening in Missouri. She's got a financial question for you. Donna, good afternoon.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. Your timing could not have been better. But I have lost my husband. December 1st will be 2 months, and we had piled up an awful lot of credit card debt due to his illness. Mm. And I tried to settle with two cards. They're owned by the same place, but it's two different cards. And they finally came back today with more than double what I reached out to them. And so my debate is it worth, because I'm limited on the money I got from his death. And so is it worth settling? And how badly does it ruin your credit? I mean, is it very detrimental, or is it worth just trying to plug through? And
hey, Donna, I'm not the financial expert. Let me just jump in quickly here, because Jonathan, you can answer this question for me. But the first thing that comes to my mind, are you on that credit card with him, or were those credit cards in his name only? Because you may not be liable for them now that he's passed away.
No, it was joint.
Okay. Jonathan, I'll let you give her the advice to how she should address this.
Sure thing. First, I'm very sorry to hear of the loss of your husband. What was his name? Or what is his name?
Wesley.
All right. Well, I'll make sure to pray for Wesley for his trip to get to heaven, and for you and the rest of the family he left behind as you mourn. As far as the finances go, did you just call like the credit card company and were like, hey, I know I owe this much. What about this? You're talking to the credit card company, or if they passed it off to a different company?
No, I'm dealing with the credit card company directly.
Okay, so any sort of an agreement you come to with them shouldn't affect your credit in any negative way, because as long as you come to that agreement and that amount gets paid, they're going to see that that's your bill paid. So it's going to look like you paid off your loan or your debt to them. Now it's not as much as you wanted. You could try kind of current going back with them to them again, saying, hey, I only have this much. I can give it to you. I've got these other guys over at such and such bank. Like, I can give it to them. I'd like to give it to you. I'd like to put this behind us, you know, and kind of continue my grieving process and all this. Like, can we find an understanding? And then, you know, maybe depending who you end up talking to, what kind of day they're having, you might be able to move that needle a little bit more into your direction.
Okay. Do you, but then they'll close the card. Does that really affect you?
What was that?
I said they would close the card, and how does that affect
your credit score gets calculated on a number of things. Some of it would be like the amount of debt you have outstanding versus what's available to you, and all of the different lines of credit. You'll have a lower total line of credit, I guess, if they close your card. Mm-hmm. You'll also, if it's your longest, like if you had the card the longest, and that one drops off, that's going to affect your score a little bit. But unless you are looking to like take out a mortgage or like some other loans in which a good credit score is really going to help you, it's not the biggest deal in the world if it gets dinged up a little bit right now, because nobody's going to really need to be checking it if that's the case.
Donna, I got to leave it right there because I've got less than a minute to go. I'm hanging there. You can check out, of course, I'm sure, Jonathan's website, walletwin.com, and also his book, A Catholic Guide to Managing Your Money. And there's other great resources out there as well. Jonathan, I only have about 30 seconds left here. I just want to give you the final thoughts.
Yes, absolutely. There are one thing real quick. Medical debt is a wow. It's really hitting a lot of folks. If you still have to pay the hospital, I really encourage everyone to look at their charity care policies. Most of them have them, as required by law for nonprofits. And you can end up getting a huge deduction in the amount you owe. But this time of year, it doesn't need to be focused on how much you have, how much you don't have, what you're giving. It's the time that you spend with your family. That's important. Amen. And when you get a handle on your finances, that's going to allow you to spend more time on what's most important.
I got to hold it right there. Thanks for being with me.